Welcome to the Bringing Rural Back podcast, where we help you live a more prepared and sustainable life today so that you can have a better tomorrow no matter what. And I actually mean that. In today's episode, episode number 20, we're going to be talking about 54 uses for garbage bags. But before we get to that, we need to do our normal deal, you know, the first thing. We do have a rural roundtable answer today from the Frugal Chickens, Matt Van Eiter. We had somebody write in and ask whether or not chickens could be used for tick control. I have a little bit that I'll be saying about that as well, but we're going to let her answer first. So here we go.
Hi there. This is Matt Van Eiter with Frugal Chicken, thefrugalchicken.com. I've been asked if chickens can be used to control ticks. In short, yes, you can. Chickens are excellent for bug control. On our homestead, we have several older hens that no longer lay eggs, as well as extra roosters, and their entire job is to keep down the bug population on our farm, in particular in our horse barn, as a natural alternative to fly spray systems, and they do an excellent job. An advantage is that we can avoid using pesticides, especially since we have young and pregnant animals on the farm, and it's impossible to know how those pesticides will affect them. We also lower our chances of being bitten by a tick, and as someone who's personally had Lyme's disease from a tick bite, I obviously want no ticks on our farm. That's a nasty disease and you don't want to get it. Chickens will spread dirt and manure around in search of bugs, and especially search out larvae, and they can see things that as people we tend to miss. And we also found that there was a noticeable downturn in our pest population after implementing the systems. And it's unbelievable, really, how good of a job they've done. I highly, highly recommend using poultry for bug control, and it's a natural way to keep pests down inexpensively without resorting to chemical pesticides that can harm your animals. Chickens are an excellent choice. Other choices include ducks and particularly guineas, who tend to thrive on ticks and other bugs. If you do use chickens for bug control, remember that you can't spray any chemicals to also control bug populations as well, because then your flock will be exposed to these pesticides and poisons and possibly ingest them, which you don't want. Just let the chickens do their thing and enjoy the benefits and cost savings of using chickens as bug control. Just remember, if you want to keep chickens for their eggs too, you can't just rely on bugs to feed them. Studies have shown that the quality of a hen's egg depends on the quality of her diet. You can get a free audio course about 5 ways to feed your hens right today on my site at thefrugalchicken.com/VIP list. You'll learn tips to feed your hens so they have the best diet possible, and if you're concerned about the quality of food your family eats, then this free course is for you. This is Mayotte Van Eiter from Frugal Chicken answering for the Rural Roundtable. If you have further chicken-related questions, be sure to send them on over and we'll get them answered. Don't forget to head over to thefrugalchicken.com/VIP list for the free audio course. See you later.
I would like to thank Matt Van Eiter for that answer, and I agree with her completely. Around here, we had a problem a few years ago with ticks and actually fleas as well. And once we started allowing the chickens to free range, we saw those populations come down dramatically. In fact, by the end of the second year, we never even saw a tick at all. Now, I don't know, you know, how many they actually eat. I do know that they eat some ticks and fleas. And it may be that their impact is caused by their disruption of their habitat, by the scratching. Matt Van Eiter actually referenced that a little. And that's just kind of my thoughts on it. Chickens are an excellent addition to any homestead. It doesn't matter if you're urban, suburban, rural, semi-rural. They're an excellent addition. They do so many things for you. And insect and pest control just happens to be one of those things. So once again, if take an opportunity to go to thefrugalchicken.com and tell her that you appreciate her taking the time to answer your questions for the Rural Roundtable. Now that we've got that done, let's start talking about uses for garbage bags. This is part of what I have come to call the Make Do Engineering series. And one of the things I like to do, just kind of as a a mental exercise, is to pick an object and try to figure out as many uses for that object as I can. And of course, you don't want to start with something exotic. You want to start with something that you've got laying around your house. I've done blog posts on handkerchiefs. I've done blog posts on vet wrap and a couple of others. And this time, I decided I was going to try one on garbage bags. Now, why did I go with garbage bags? Well, it's actually quite simple. During this time of year, the average American household goes through a heck of a lot of garbage. So, you know, you're constantly taking out garbage and everything like that. Even if you're trying to be minimalist, there's a lot more refuse production this time of year than some of the other times of year. Now, this exercise, you know, I know some of you may be thinking, well, is this really a preparedness exercise? Yeah, kind of. I mean, it could be considered an exercise in preparedness, but honestly, it's really more of a exercise in creative thinking and problem solving. Now, why do I say that? You can actually do this process with anything. But you're throwing away the conventional thought process on how to do anything and everything, and you're trying to get creative, and you're going, okay, if I was in a situation and all I had was X, in this case, a garbage bag, what all could I do with it, and how could I make those things happen? So you see, it's a minimalist exercise, it's a preparedness exercise, it's a frugal exercise, and it's just an exercise to make you work your brain, and those are very important. So, you know, we're just going to take this thing and we're going to follow it down the rabbit hole and see what all we can come up with. So, and I've come up with 54, and who knows, by the time it's over, I may come up with even more. So, we're going to start off with the container. In this category, it really doesn't matter if we're talking about a white, a black, clear, opaque, or whatever garbage bag. Size doesn't necessarily matter either. But now, for all of these non-scented varieties, okay? So, first, of course, you can use it for garbage. It just goes to reason, if we're talking about a garbage bag, that we should be able to use it for what it was designed to do anyway. That's to get rid of all the stuff that needs to go away. Number two, this one, I don't know any single guy or gal who hasn't done this at one time or another, especially college students. The laundry basket. When your clothes get so disgusting that you can't stand them anymore, they stuff them all into a garbage bag and make the trek back home to have mom or dad do their laundry. Even if you're not doing that, I have used them to take them to the laundromat long ago when I didn't have a washer and dryer or what have you. Third is make-do luggage. Done this a few times myself as well. You're planning on going somewhere, anywhere, camping, hotel, whatever, but you don't have any luggage. Okay, the only luggage that I still have now is I have a duffel bag. I don't have the fancy luggage. I don't really need it. And you either don't have the time or the money to purchase any, or if you're like me, you think it's just a waste. A garbage bag will serve the purpose. Yes, your clothes are going to get wrinkled, but unless you're going to a business meeting or you're really, really, really OCD, that really doesn't matter a whole lot. Number four, a temporary backpack. Yeah, it's kind of related to luggage, but you can use any garbage bag as make-do luggage. But if you really want to use it as a temporary backpack, you'll need the ones with the drawstrings. As long as the load isn't too heavy and you're not traveling through brush or heavily wooded areas, it actually works okay. Number five, collect rainwater. Just spread it out while it's raining. Water will gather and you'll be able to use it. That's the cool thing about rainwater, is no matter how polluted an area you're in, unless you're somewhere where acid rain is happening, and that doesn't happen that much anymore, thank goodness, rainwater is potable. It's drinkable exactly the way it is. So if you're in a survival situation and it's raining, spread out a garbage bag. Collect that water. Drink that water. Water storage, number six. I know it's not perfect, but it will do the job. You can actually fold it in such a way to where the water collects, not in the creases, not where it's been mechanically put together, but it will store the water. And as long as it doesn't get tired or punctured, it will store it for a really, really long time. I've done this a little bit myself. Number seven is forage collection. If you're out and about and come upon, say, a large stand of blackberries, they're perfectly ripe. Now, I, for one, wouldn't want to pass up on that opportunity, but I don't have a basket. If I have a clean garbage bag, either in my backpack or in my vehicle, I'm good to go. This goes for a lot of things. Just if you're trying to collect stuff to be able to burn for heat, pine cones, whatever. If foraging is gathering of necessary supplies that you can utilize in another way. I've used garbage bags to collect pine needles. I've used them to collect leaves. All of these things that I'm able to utilize somewhere else. You know, leaves I use in my garden as a mulch. Pine needles also, depending upon the individual plant. I'll use one on one and something else on another, but that's just the way that I work. So using as a forage collection, it's a great idea, and it's something that you need to consider. Number eight, and I've done this one too, use a garbage bag along with a bucket as an emergency toilet. If you've ever been in a situation where, you know, either the toilets don't work or there's no place to go, when you gotta go, you gotta go. So maybe the plumbing's out, maybe the sewer system's gone down, maybe your septic tank's backed up. It's not a big deal for me normally, if I'm where I can, to go in the woods or the high grass, you know, to take care of whatever needs to be done. For others, this is extremely challenging. A bucket, a garbage bag, and if you want to get really fancy, a toilet seat. You got an emergency toilet. Now, for the most part, I suggest using sawdust or wood chips every time that somebody goes. Number two, throw a couple of handfuls of sawdust or wood chips on there. If that's, ew, gross, oh my God, then you can get the blue stuff that's used in RV toilets that will help maintain it without the stink. If you use the blue stuff, once the event has passed, you toss the garbage bag. If you use the shavings or the sawdust, put the lid on the bucket, set it out somewhere where it's out of the way, wait a year, and it's perfectly good compost. But this is something that you can do that doesn't require a lot of tech, but unless you've been in a situation, unless you're a creative thinker, a lot of folks don't think about that. And that's kind of odd to me. Number nine, a grocery bag. Now, I find it interesting. I guess it's part of the way that I grew up with the society that I grew up in. But there are more and more grocery stores that are charging you for grocery bags. We even have one fairly close to us. I remember hearing about them 2 years ago, I guess. Well, we've got one here. So when a store is going to charge you anywhere from 15 cents to a quarter per grocery bag, which for the t-shirt bags, that's what they're called, considering they're less than a penny a piece, they're making a massive profit off the deal. You don't want to have to do that. So we've used grocery bags for years for garbage bags. So why not the other way around? Garbage bags are way more durable anyway than the thin little bags that they provide. So if you find yourself where there's a grocery store that charges for grocery bags, just throw a couple of the little waste can bags or what have you in your purse or backpack or pocket or in your vehicle or what have you, and use those instead of paying the prices for the that they charge. Number 10, short-term food storage. And I mean really short-term. But if you have nothing else, this is a way to reduce the likelihood that insects will get into your food. You can just wrap it up and set it aside. If you got a cool place or what have you, this will work great. Number 11, hanging food in a tree. If you're in an area that has bears, you've probably heard horror stories about bears getting into people's food supplies while they were camping. The best way to avoid this is to hang the food high in a tree limb. They make bags specifically for the purpose, but if you don't have one of those, you'll have to improvise. A bit of rope and a garbage bag or two, I would suggest double bagging, and you have a way to keep your food out of reach of Yogi Bear and his friends. Okay. Number 12 is, lost my notes. There we go. Mixing food and drinks. If you don't have anything else, just like I've said all the way through, you can use a garbage bag to mix up food or drinks. You can either do this by placing the items in the bag and shaking rigorously, or you can actually use the bag in conjunction with either sand or soil or hollowed out rock or whatever to make an actual bowl. I've done this one a time or two myself. Get out, not far from us, there's a beach. And whenever we go, if there's not a lot of people there, I like to start a fire and I'll hollow me out a little place in the sand and I'll line it with a garbage bag and use it to mix stuff up and kind of try to get creative and practice my wilderness cooking skills. So, but it's really easy. You got to be very careful that you don't put anything in there that's too hot or you will melt the bag, and that's a bad deal. So, but you can use it for that, and it does a good job. Our next section is going to be personal comfort and more. You know, so far we've talked about storage and really came up with quite a few just in using them for storage. In this section, we're going to talk about ways we can use garbage bags to make us a little more comfortable. Number 13 is going to be an emergency poncho. Now, I've done this one myself. You take a large garbage bag and you cut a hole for your head and one for each of your arms. After you've done this, you put it on kind of like a pullover shirt. Do it above your clothes. This will keep rain from getting on your upper body, but I've got to warn you, if it's warm at all, you'll wind up sweating. And in some cases, you'll wind up just as wet as if you ran out in the rain. 14, a makeshift umbrella. This one goes nicely with the last one. You can get as creative or as basic as you wish. I've seen people actually make a frame out of small sticks and take the garbage bag to them to make a true, what I would call, redneck umbrella. When you combine the two, you can stay reasonably dry and it'll do fine. Number 15 is to keep your feet dry. Now, I have my mom to thank for this one. When I was a kid, I would go, and it would snow. She would take some bathroom-sized garbage bags and would put them over my shoes. You know, I never really had waterproof shoes growing up. And she would secure them with either large rubber bands or just some twine. This would keep the melting snow from soaking into my shoes and getting my feet wet. Number 16, keeping your hands dry. This one too. It's kind of the same as above, though honestly, I want to think that my mother used the bags, the empty bags that sandwich bread came out of most of the time. You know, I'd have my gloves on, and they would normally be fabric or wool or whatever, so they're not waterproof or water resistant in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So she would make me stick my hands in these old bread bags. That's what kept my hands from getting sopping, stinking wet, and getting cold. Number 17, keep your clothes dry. You know, when I was a young adult, I'd go camping whenever I could. One time, some buddies and I went camping and came up a little, like, flash rainstorm. I quickly pulled a garbage bag out of my backpack and stuck the entire backpack in the garbage bag. The storm didn't last very long, but when it had passed, I was the only one that had dry clothes. I guess I can thank my mom for that one, too, because of the feet and hand things when I was younger. Number 18, keep your sleeping bag dry. I really don't think this one needs a lot of elaboration. Sleeping in a damp or a wet sleeping bag stinks in more ways than one. Number 19, insulating clothing. Garbage bags are good at this for one reason. They keep most of the air in them. When you're cold, what you're really trying to do is maintain your body heat. Since garbage bags are made of plastic, heat tends to be trapped. Basically, you use the same method as you would with a poncho, only you put the garbage bag under your clothes. You will stay a lot warmer. Number 20 is an emergency blanket. Now, I'll be the first to admit it's not as good as the Mylar, you know, shiny, kind of looks like aluminum foil blanket. But hey, beats not having anything. 21, a life preserver. Now, I didn't come up with this one on my own. When I was doing research for this, I kind of looked to see what other people had had. And I'll be honest, I don't remember who had this one. And I really, 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 really wouldn't want to have to rely on this one. But if there's nothing else available, a garbage bag filled with air and tied off might just be enough to get you or someone else to safety. Now, I do remember when I was in the military a bazillion years ago that one of the things that they taught us is if we were in a situation where we needed a life jacket or life preserver or something like that, we were taught to take our BDU pants, battle dress uniform pants, off, tie off the legs, and just fill them up with air and then have them over our shoulders, and they would be a make do. Every couple of strokes, you know, you'd have to lift your waistband up above the water to scoop in more air. And it did work. Not great, but it did work. So maybe. 22, a hair bow or a hair tie. Now, I personally don't have to deal with this one because what little hair I have left, I keep really short. But I do have daughters, and this would apply. Just cut them into strips, and use them away. Next, we're going to talk about shelter uses. 23 and 24 is a pillow and a bed. Now, you take a garbage bag, you fill it with leaves or straw or whatever you happen to have around that would be soft. You can make a bed and you can make a pillow. Is it perfect? Oh, no. but it would be far preferable to sleeping on gravel. This will also keep you from having to deal with any moisture that's in the padding material. You know, every time that I've ever been in the woods, after you scrape off just a little bitty thinnest layer of the top layer of leaves that have fallen, especially in, you know, late fall, early winter, it gets moist in a hurry. And that's something you're going to want to avoid if at all possible. So having the plastic between you and that material is just a good idea. 25, a ground cover. Now, in a survival situation, everyone thinks about trying to find shelter. There's only one problem with that. Most people, when you say shelter, automatically think a roof. That's not really it. The truth of the matter is that a floor is many times way more important than a roof. This is especially true in 3 out of the 4 seasons. Summer's really the only season that it could even be argued that a roof is as important as a floor, but even then it would fall short. Now the reason is that when you're in a survival situation, one of the main things that you're trying to do is you're trying to regulate your body temperature. If you have to rest, okay, you got to find a place to sleep or what have you, and you lay flat on the ground, your body heat will go into the ground, and you're going to be losing that body heat because it's going to take way more body heat than you've got to warm up the soil underneath you in order to get it to a point where it'll radiate back. Are you going to feel some of the cold from the ground through the plastic? Sure. But it's still going to prevent you from losing as much body heat to the ground. 26, a sunshade. I know we touched on this a little just in the past one. But in a very hot area or during the middle of the summertime, a sunshade can be worth a lot. Improvise a shelter or waterproof one you already have. Now, the big contractor bags can be made into a one-person tent without too much effort. And I'm sure you know someone that's lost their rain fly from like a backpacking tent. I myself have owned over the years a couple of tents that, you know, I picked up at yard sales for like $6 because they had lost the rain fly. Well, any good sized garbage bag can be used as a replacement rain fly. All else you need is maybe some tape or some not so stiff bungees and you can hold it into place. 29, blackout windows. If you've ever had to work nights, you know how important this can be. You're going to want to use the dark, really thick ones and a little tape for the best results. You know, if you're trying to sleep during the day, as little light as possible entering wherever you're sleeping is going to be extremely beneficial. So that's a good idea. You got to block it out somehow. Number 30, a solar shower. Done this one too. Use black or darker colored garbage bags. The dark plastic will absorb heat from the sun and warm the water. Once the water is warm or hot or as warm as it's going to get anyway, you can either cut the corner of the bag or use a pin or a needle or a stick or whatever to poke some holes in the bag. If you stick small pinholes in the bag, this is a one-time use thing. If you cut the corner, you can tie the corner or pin it up or whatever and create a multi-use item. Showering out in the sticks, you know, I don't like stinking, so I've done this one before. 31, a belt for holding up your pants. Yeah, now I know a lot of people that don't use a belt, and I really don't understand it. I use a belt all the time. After you've worn a pair of pants for a while, even if they fit perfectly when you put them on, they tend to get loose. The fabric stretches. Come on. So you take several strips, and braiding them together is actually best. Tie it into a knot to help keep you from having to do what I call the womp dance. You know, every few steps, whoop, you're having to pull your pants up. Whoop. Okay. Next section, first aid uses. If you ever find yourself in a situation where you have to administer first aid, unless you have one of the mega first aid packs, you're going to have to utilize whatever you have or whatever you can scrounge around and find. So you may have to get creative. Hopefully, you'll never find yourself in this type of situation. But if you do, being able to think outside the box and come up with make-do ideas will help you a ton. Here are a few uses for garbage bags that will help you if you find yourself in a situation. Now, we're going to go up in intensity. Okay? 32, an ice pack. Simple, easy. Doesn't matter what size garbage bag, doesn't matter what color garbage bag, just add ice, double ply it, triple ply it if you want to, apply to wherever needs it. 33, keep a bandage clean. Okay, this is critical in extremely dusty, damp, or wet areas. You can either wrap the whole thing, you know, if somebody's got an injured forearm, you just take the whole garbage bag, wrap it around, and kind of tape it to, or rubber banded or whatever, just so it's not tight enough that it's going to cut off circulation. Or you can actually cut it. If you're going to cut it, you know, it's going to be best to have about 2 inches sticking out all the way around, and then you can tape it down. Once you're out of the dirty or damp areas, remove the cover. This can really help prevent problems with an otherwise manageable injury or wound. 34, a sling. So, somebody in your group has injured their shoulder. You need something to help keep it stationary, to take the weight off of the shoulder as it's, oh, it's hurting, oh. So, a sling is what you need. Only one problem. You won't have one. Your first aid kit is somewhere else, and you don't have one in your backpack. If you have a garbage bag, you can make one. Not a problem. 35, tie a splint. I guess you can tell that, you know, I'm trying to build. I'm trying to go up in urgency. Just start off with the mundane and go up. With a splint, you're going to have to tie it in strips. The heavier grade garbage bags will be better. You may have to braid them. You may have to use multiple strips. Just find some wood. Go on. You can do it. It's not hard. It's not hard to make a splint. 36, a tourniquet. Definitely have to use either multiple plies or braid several strips to make it strong enough to stop bleeding. If you're faced with a situation, it's critical. Now, with a tourniquet, I have to warn you, if something's bad enough to require a tourniquet, then it's so bad that you cannot remove the tourniquet. It must not be removed until you've gotten them to medical help and a doctor removes it, okay? 37, a makeshift stretcher. I've seen this one done. I've never done it myself, but I've seen it done. You'll need either the heavy mill contractor type bags, And depending upon the person that's going to wind up on the stretcher, you may need more than one of them per section. Or you may use several of the other type bags and two strong poles. It's going to be a lot better than trying to carry somebody out of an emergency on your shoulders. Okay. 38. Sucking chest wound. Okay. Now, what a sucking chest wound is a wound that has impacted a lung. Okay. Care should be taken to keep air from entering the chest cavity through the hole. This is where you can use a garbage bag, or at least part of it. The bag should be cut so that at least 2 inches of plastic extend beyond all of the edges of the hole, all the way around. There is some debate over whether this should be taped on all four sides or only three sides. Four sides would help ensure that no air enters. Three sides, if done tightly, should do the same, but also allow any air that has entered the chest cavity a way of escape. Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy are kind of my go-to folks for emergency medical stuff. You can find them at doomandbloom.com. 39, a body bag. Now, my wife did not want me to include this one at all. And to be honest, if the situation is this bad, things are really bad. But they can be used for this if needed. Next section, water-based uses. Now, I know we've already talked about water catchment. But here's some more ways you can use a garbage bag to help you not only get water, but get clean water. Number 40, part of a solar steel. A solar steel uses the heat from the sun to cause water to evaporate. This evaporation is captured by a cover, the garbage bag. Okay? The garbage bag is positioned in a way that the condensation runs into a collection area. The water that ends up in the collection area is clean. Now, as a way to explain it, all right, sand is really good for this. So you're going to dig a hole in the sand and you're going to put some type of container down or what have you. And then you're going to do like a makeshift tent or a lean-to with a straight up and down side and a slanted side for the roof. Okay, your slanted side's going to go down to like a smaller basin. This too can be made out of a garbage bag. As the condensation collects on the upper plastic, it rolls down, collects in the catch basin. That water is drinkable. Okay? All right. 41, get water from trees. I've done this one too. Really only works in our area from, say, mid-spring through really early fall. Find a low-hanging limb with lots of leaves. Take the garbage bag and put it on the limb with all the leaves. You put them inside the garbage bag, still attached to the tree. Don't cut the limb off. Okay? The sun will actually draw moisture out of the leaves. This moisture, just like in the solar steel, will condense and then it'll roll down into the corner of the garbage bag. You just cut the little corner off and you can drink that water straight as you please. 42, melt snow. Black or dark garbage bag is going to work best, but any of them will do. If you need water and there's snow on the ground, this can be a lifesaver. Now, do not eat snow in a survival situation. Yes, it will keep you hydrated, but it will lower your core body temperature and can lead to hypothermia. You don't want to trade one bad situation for another. Okay? Final sections, lots of other uses. So, you know, I've kind of tried to break everything down, and we've done okay. In this section, we're just going to cover some stuff that can range from true survival to mundane to even some frugal ideas. Okay? 43. Patching leaks in containers. This is really going to work best for like dry goods, but even for a liquid, it will help. Cut a piece out that's larger than the hole and tape it in place. Not a big deal. 44. A plate. So you've been out foraging, fishing, hunting, maybe a combination of all. Come back to camp with your possibles. Now, if you hadn't been around a lot of old folks and learned old terminology, or you hadn't watched very many old cowboy movies, possibles is basically your stuff. You're ready to cook and looking forward to eating. Dadgummit, you don't have a plate. Once again, you can use a clean garbage bag. Just make sure that everything's cool enough that it's not going to melt the plastic. 45, a signal. Stick a white garbage bag on a branch and wave away. It might save you someday. 46, a trail marker. Strips tied in branches of trees. Now, I've done this one. Done it a few times. Done it recently, actually. If you're in an area of the woods that you don't know, if you're in, you know, unfamiliar country, trail markers can save your hide. Don't be afraid to do it. 47, a windsock. Basically tells you which way the wind's blowing. It can be a single strand, or it can be a whole garbage bag, but it's going to take more wind to make a whole garbage bag move. 48, a banner for a message. Spread it out, write on it. Big deal. Got it. Okay. 49, frost protection. Now, frost protection is going to be for tender young plants that are already in the ground that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's around here, you know, it's the middle of April and there's a freakishly late frost and my tomatoes. So you run out there and you try to make sure that it doesn't get on it. It doesn't have to be permanent. It's only going to be for one night. Number 50 is a mini greenhouse. Clear or opaque only. And you gotta make it a little more permanent than the last one, you know, the frost protection. You're going to want to make basically a tent, and you're going to want to secure it down on the sides. 51, a weed barrier. Now, I would really only use a garbage bag for a weed barrier in like flower beds or something where there's going to be non-food producing plants. And even then, I would be sure to mulch on top of it. Now, the reason that I would mulch on top of it is because most plastics are what is called photodegradable, which means sunlight makes them break down. You know, would it work? Yes, it would work. But this is just an exercise to see how many things we can come up with. So it's a legitimate use. 52, a fire starter. Not preferable, but if it's all you have, plastic will help you get a fire started. While the plastic is burning, it will release chemicals, so don't cook over this fire for a good while, at least until all the plastic is burned up. Even then, I don't know that I would unless I was in a dire situation. I might just use it to catch something else on fire and start a fire somewhere else that didn't have the plastic, but it's an option. 53, a rope. Now, I've alluded to this a few times, and the thick contractor-type bags can hold a fair amount Just the way they are, without doing anything. But if you take the time to cut strips and then braid them together, their carrying capacity can be quite impressive. 54, dun 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 dun. Gift wrap. Now I know this one seems strange, especially with the rest of the list, but I've done this one. Say a gift is last minute, or it's large, or it's shaped weird. Use a white garbage bag. Well, if you used a black one too, white one looks a little better. Now, see, the cool thing about this is you can be as formal or as basic as you want. You can actually cut the bag and wrap it properly, or you can just stick the gift in there and cinch it up. If you want it to be nicer, more personal, more festive, you know, definitely use the white. Get you a set of colored markers, a little artistic talent, and you could turn a regular old garbage bag into something that'll be talked about in a positive way for years. Now, as I was recording this, that's the list that I actually had when I first sat down. Or, well, by the time I started recording this, this was the list that I had. And I remembered one in the process. Number 55. So it's turned from 54 into 55. Short-term weight loss. Yep, I said that. See, I remember several years ago, again, while I was in the Army, a buddy of mine was on what they called the Fat Boy Program. He had to weigh in, I want to say it was like once a week. On the day before and on the day that he would have to weigh in, he would wear garbage bags under his clothes basically all day, and then he'd run to the barracks and shower before he had to go weigh in. He would sweat like mad. I mean, on warm days, he would literally, and I mean that literal, not figuratively, he would literally be dripping with sweat. Now, that would cause him to temporarily lose weight, even for a day or so after he got done. All of the weight that's lost is due to water weight. So you're going to get it all back, okay, just over the course of a few days. But it does work. Well, there you go. We wound up with 55 ways to use garbage bags. I hope this has got your brain working. That's kind of what this was all about, was to take an everyday item and go, okay, what can we do with this? And come up with just off-the-wall ideas. You know, but stuff that would actually do. So this is, you know, this has been a make-do engineering exercise. Can you think of some ways that I didn't? I'd love to hear them on the comments on the blog. If you enjoyed this, share it. Subscribe. Tell a friend about it. Share it on social media. Share it on sneaker media, you know. Help us get the word out. You know, if you have questions for our rural roundtable, be sure and send them in. If you have questions for me, send them in. I'll get to them. If it's something that I can record an answer for, I'll do that. If it's not, I'll answer you on email. I'm really good about it. I've got some great ideas coming up. I appreciate each and every one of you. And step by step, we're bringing rural back. Bye-bye.